the action nerd.
I'm coming to get you.
Get away from her, you bitch.
The action nerd.
You've just been erased.
This is my boot.
The name's Nukem, Duke Nukem, and now it's time for the Action Nerd. I love this guy.
Welcome, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen around the internet. Thank you for listening to my show, The Action Nerd, dudes being dudes, talking about movies. And today, you know, I got a special guest with me. Kind of not a guest, you know, it's he's now on the Rushmore of multiple appearances on the show. My co-host on the Action Fix live stream, his live stream, John Gerva. How are you doing today, John?
Greetings and salutations, everybody. Hello, Mr. Actioner. It's nice to be on your show. You've been doing my show a lot. It's like it's about time I get on your show.
Oh yeah, it's you know, like I told you on your show, it's like started up a
I
new
see your
job.
Dog. Your little dog just popped his head up over the
back. Oh yeah, yeah. He's in the background here.
Oh, hello.
Yep.
I must warn you, if you hear any noises, my cat, Tug, I just fed him, so I was hoping that would shut him up. But he's like, meow, meow. There's cats outside, so he gets all you know, he's fixed, but he still gets excited when he sees other cats.
Yeah, my dog might pop up and try to get me to play with him while we record here, but it's all good. And today we are talking about a movie that is kind of like an underground release. Not a whole lot of people knew about it. It was a straight to DVD release, a movie called Beyond White Space. And, you know, I mentioned it on John's show when we discussed Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, our review of that movie on there. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's like Moby Dick and Kaiju in space.
Yep.
In a way. So
I knew nothing about this movie. It slipped under my radar. You mentioned it, and I was like, what? And then I started watching the trailer on the show while we were recording. I'm like, hey, this looks decent. And it's got Holt McCallany on it. So like, I like him.
Yeah, Holt does a great job in pretty much anything he does, including, you know, when he was kind of red face in Tales from the Dark Side, one of those movies, I believe it was.
He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like it was the most famous one with the Wood Cigar Indian short film. So, but you know, today we're discussing Beyond White Space. You know, I'm going to let you go, John. What's all your history with it? Was it when I introduced it on the show, your show?
My history with Beyond White Space? I literally just got done watching it 10 minutes ago. That's my history with it. I watched it on Tubi, or Tubby, as Owen would call it. Yeah, that's my, like I said, for whatever reason, I mean, well, it's science fiction. It's not necessarily action, although there is action in it. But for what it came out in, what, 2017, it said? And
December 14th, 2018 here in the U.S.
2018 in the U.S. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I knew nothing about the movie. So I literally just got done watching it. And there you go. There's my history with it. I have no history with this movie aside from 2 hours.
You know, my history was I saw a preview back in like 2018 and I was like, oh, cool. This is this looks awesome. It's like space monsters and people hunting them down from what the preview makes it look like. And I when it was on Vudu, I bought it. I watched it once and then I mentioned it on your show. And then I did the bad podcaster thing and I finished watching it like an hour ago myself because I had my kids for a little bit today.
But sometimes it's a good thing. It's. I mean, yeah. Like I said, I've only seen it the once, but it's fresh in my mind. So,
Yeah, the concept is like the USS Essex is traveling through the furthest reaches of the known universe when it encounters a gigantic creature. After pirates steal their cargo and most of their supplies, the crew decide to capture the creature. This was directed by Ken Loxmandy, writers Ryan Coogee, Clay McLeod Chapman, and you just said his last name. I can never pronounce his last name correctly. It stars Holt McClaney,
McColony, I think it's McColony or McCall.
McColony,
Yeah, McColony. Yeah.
McColony as Richard Bentley. I'll just call him the captain because he's the captain of the ship.
He is.
We got Zule Hinelli or Hinola as Lynn Navarro, which I apologize for butchering these names because some of
Yeah,
them will
she's
be
got a
hard to
name. Yeah,
pronounce.
her last name is. Yeah, but she was in Fighting with Channing Tatum. I like that movie. That was a solid movie. So.
Okay. Dave Sheridan as Stubenowski. I love Dave Sheridan. He just plays the off-the-wall screwball guy. Whenever I see him in a movie, I'm like, I'm gonna enjoy this because he's, or I'm gonna enjoy his parts. We got James Devoti as Owen Bentley, Jocko Sims as Harpo, Cody Kitchen as Batali, which is kind of weird because her character was the cook and her last name's Kitchen.
Yeah.
We have Michael or Mike Genovese as Hawthorne. We have Tiffany Bower as Ragslin, Isaac C. Singleton as the Boomer Lieutenant, Sebastian A. Jones as the Boomer Captain, Spencer Hill as Captain Bentley, who, spoiler for this, it's Owen and the Captain's father. We get like a brief appearance by Ron Yin as Ahab, which I
Yes, he
kind
was
of
in,
felt
yeah,
it,
and did a lot of
which
karate.
I,
Not a lot.
oh
He
yeah.
threw like one kick, but I was like, oh,
Yeah.
okay.
And a blink and you miss it billboard cameo from a digital billboard by Vernon Wells.
Vernon Wells. Yeah, I was like, I thought I was gonna be in
Yeah.
the movie more, and that was it. I was like, oh, I was like,
That was
okay,
it. That that
that's
that
it.
that's the whole thing.
No more.
And well, this movie takes place in the future. It starts off in the year 2132 AD, and they make sure that it's the year of the dragon.
Yeah.
Only reference you get to it through the entire film. That's
Only
it.
reference.
And we get a Holt giving a narration talking about the whole backstory of, like white space and its celestial guardian Tian Long. He says it's the guardian of white space, and we see a ship flying around tracking Tian Long and its mate, and the mate gets injured, and Tian Long just gets pissed and destroys the ship. Well, we find out that the ship was Captain Bentley's, the main character's father's ship, and the survivor of that is Hawthorne. But he pop, and then the movie takes place like time jump, 24 years, and there's the mention of the Mining and Fishing Federation billboard with Vernon Wells, which, like I said, it's like a blink and you miss it cameo. I was like, he should have been done more, Can't go wrong. He does a great job whenever he pops up in a movie. We get Ahab meeting with the captain and just shows off this like little bug in a shot glass, and he's like, oh, this is the crazy bug, or what I call it, the life sentence. And pretty much if this bug gets into you, and it's game over. It's just the shit hits the fan, everything gets ruined for you. And the captain and Ahab, they actually get into a fight because it's revealed that basically a space cop is in the background watching this restaurant that this meeting's going on with. And Ahab was selling a star chart, a paper star chart, to the captain with all the sightings of Tian Long. We get the fight, and during this, the crazy bug gets out of the shot glass, and they keep mentioning ice, or ICE, and a couple times they say ICE, which is the Interstellar Conservation Enforcement Agency. And during this fight, the captain happens to shove Ahab's face to the ground where the crazy bug crawls in his nose and goes right into his brain. And, you know, that's it. That's all we see of Ahab. Ron Yoon, that's it. He's out of the movie. Yeah, like you said, John, he throws like one kick, but he kind of has like that intimidating posture when he's sitting there eating food. Mm-hmm. And and they were like, oh, another time jump. 3 months later at the Zenith space station where we see the Essex boarding up and they're being told, oh, you're going to have a representative for the MFF, the Mining and Fishing Federation, which they don't realize is actually an undercover agent for ICE. So the captain and his brother, they're like, you can obviously tell there's an age difference. There's different people, or they're just two different people. And the captain meets her, Lynn, the ICE agent. And he's like, pretty much, whatever, I'm done with this lady already. Walks off, and his brother Owen is escorting her around the ship, telling her, yeah, the crew's been around for 3 to 4 years. And the entire crew, you know, there's Harpo, Owen, Stubbs, Rags, Hawthorne, the captain, and Bats, because you only hear their full names one time throughout the entire movie, but every time they're referred, it's by like a shortening of their name, a nickname. Like Owen is known as Boo Boo. Mm-hmm. So, and pretty much this entire crew, it's like if you want, like, space whaling outlaw type guys, these are the guys you gotta get. It's they're all a bunch of degenerates and outlaws in some form or fashion. The only one who's kind of clean was Owen, but because of his attitude and everything, he was kicked out of the military. The captain was dishonorably discharged for striking an officer. Everybody has, like, they're a gambler, or, oh, he was squeaky clean but served time in prison for a little bit, or he's a full-blown alcoholic, or this guy's done crimes that he's wanted for and he's traveled around on ships so he can avoid prosecution. And the whole idea is, oh, we got this representative or this escort, and we were like, let's just do one catch, get her off the ship and just get on with our lives. And they happen to harvest they're basically space crabs. They call them clickers in the movie, but they look like giant space crabs. And I'm gonna say, you know, for a movie that's still 6 years old, the CGI in this, which is the majority of the film, looks great compared to some movies that we have nowadays. And it's like in space they wear like mech suits that they call the pods. And Owen is a kick-ass pod pilot, and you get Hawthorne and Harpo with them. And during, it's usually like, oh, they're just bullshitting around in the pods, collecting what they're going for. Because here's the thing, you collect the clickers for money, but you can also eat them on your way to your next job or the next rendezvous that you have. And then it's like during this, we get a crack open in space and this big white flash of light happens and there's Tian Long and it's white space opening up and it's revealed that white space is actually just a collection of white holes, because if there's black holes, there have to be white holes. And Lynn in this is trying to explain that type of stuff to the captain and the crew, and the captain's like, I don't give a shit. I got a job to do. I'm going to get it done.
Well, she says that for every entrance, there has to be an exit. So that's what the white spots are supposed to be, I guess, the exits as opposed to the
Yeah, entrance. And it's revealed that she gets on a computer to look up information on the crew, and it's like, oh, she's got a tumor in a brain tumor, and she's got 3 to 6 months to live. And her boss is actually mentions that, you know, the theory is if you go into white space, you will be cleansed of all your imperfections and impurities. So basically, it's like a cure-all to everything. But the problem is you have to get into white space, and by doing that, you have to get past Tian Long. And Tian Long's the best way to describe him. He's like a space whale kaiju mix.
Yeah. He's kind of dragony looking too. He's kind of like a space
Yeah.
dragon.
Well, it's like the crew call him Ten Lung instead of Tian Long. It's just, so we get, oh, we have, it's mentioned like Harpo's dating Bats and they've been together for a while, but they keep flipping to Harpo and Rags having sex in the supplies closet.
I was like, son of a bitch, he's got like these he's got this hot chick, and then he's like, oh, I guess that's not enough. I guess his loins need
Yeah,
more.
it's like he's got the hot tattooed blonde woman and he's sleeping around with the pilot who was rumored to be almost kicked out of the military, but because the rumors of
She was sleeping around with all the officers and stuff.
all the officers said they bumped her up to flight school to become a pilot to get her to shut up.
No offense, but I need
And
to meet a woman like that. No offense, I guess in this case, no. I want. That's what.
Well, it's like I noticed, like, because the captain, he's kind of old school. He's got like the old Rolodex desk so he can lock it up and with all of his information, which has his sightings of Tien Long and other
Did you see
things. And
he had a statue of Moby Dick on his
yes, exactly.
yeah. So
Exactly. I was
there's a
actually
little
about to mention
homage
that.
to. I was like, oh, that's clever. Good for you.
Well, it's like if you look on IMDb, it actually says there's a lot of mentions to Moby Dick in it, which when I first saw the preview for it, I was like, oh, it's Space Moby Dick. It kind of looks like that. And then we get a flashback of the captain and his brother Owen with their dad fishing. And their dad gives the captain this old ceremonial sword. And that's like the end of it. We have the last time we see the dad on screen at all because he died in the beginning of the movie. And while, Lynn decides to give a report because she's supposed to do like daily reports and she has to broadcast it from the ship's broadcast room, the bridge basically. While she does that, space pirates, which they call boomers in the movie,
Yeah, that was
intercept
an
it
odd
and
name, Boomers. I was like, why Boomers? Like, why did they say why? I forget. Like I said, I've only seen it just now.
No, they never said why they call them boomers. They're like, oh, we got boomers coming along. And Lynn's like, space pirates? What does
Yeah.
that? Well, they were like, yeah, they're just boomers. And they like move an oxygen tank away. So basically, Bats and Rag, who can sneak into this hole and hide there because they're like, oh, the boomers might attempt to rape the women. And well, Bats' prized possession, anything in the universe, is her one pan that she cooks with, so she even brings that into this hiding spot, and she tells Rags, it's like, don't even touch it, don't look at my pan, with
Just
her
laughed at
not
that. I'm like,
realizing.
she's banging your dude. Like, don't worry about the pan. Like, we're like, that's the least of your issues. But whatever.
Exactly. And it's like while they're all prepping for this, but you see the captain with this cylinder tube, and he just turns it, activates it, and throws it on with the cargo that they have, and it's revealed that's the ship's tracking beacon. Like if the ship gets lost, they can go, oh, it's here. And so he puts it on there, insinuating that he wants to get his cargo back eventually, and it's like Lynn pulls a gun on them, and they're like, don't put that away, or they're gonna take it from you and kill you with it. And but she pulls a gun on the boomer captain after he, oddly enough, he's being polite for a pirate. It's like his whole crew is a bunch of misfits too, and they're being awfully polite. They're not like pushing their way through. They're not doing anything bad. They're just standing there, basically. And so they take the gun, search her, and find out her ICE badge. And happens to go, did you know you had an ice queen on the ship? No, that's news to me, is what the captain says. And you could tell he's mad. And that's the reason why he was kicked out of the military, was he got mad and struck a superior officer. So his temper flares up throughout the movie, and Holt does a great job doing that. And but yeah, the captain, the boomer captain, tells his lieutenant, okay, tag the ship, so if they make any more transmissions or whatever, we can find them easily and take care of the stuff. And you know, Holt tells the crew, put Lynn in imprisonment because she's a spy. And you know, I loved how the pirates left them all with everything but two bag or took everything but two bags of like ramen
Ramen
noodles.
noodles. Yeah, they're like ramen noodles. I'm like, oh, well, hey, split it up. There you go. You can all eat.
Well, a little bit I did miss is like when she's being introduced to the crew, they're in the dining area, the kitchen deli, or there's an old cryopod that they use as our fridge.
Yeah.
And so they're all sitting there at the table going, Captain goes, well, we have two options. We can go home or we can go for the big prize, which is Tian Long. Because it I talked with a guy already, he said it's about 5 seasons worth of harvests for us. And when Tian Long showed up, they happened to hit him with a tracker before they had to quickly abandon the hunt, the search area that they were harvesting the creepers, the crawlers, the space crabs. And
Now, why were they
which
worth
is weird.
money? Like, why did they like want like why were those worth money? Those
It was
creatures.
basically, it's like just I kind of took it as like they're space crabs, but it's kind of like the buffalo and the bison back in the day. Like you can make so much
Okay.
money off of them, the
Okay.
meat, because they actually say we can make money off of it. We could eat it on our way there. So don't we need more than one of them so we could, you know, possibly survive.
I
And
just went with it. I went with it. I'm like, okay, they're valuable.
yeah.
All right, let's go.
Well,
They're
it's interesting
valuable.
because they mention like, oh, we have a tracker on Tian Long. But throughout the entire movie, you see like Tian Long tracking the ship himself, like following them.
Yeah.
And they had to have a shitty space tracker on him because it like activates one, maybe two more times throughout the entire thing. But Tian Long is in eyesight of the ship. He can see it can see the ship. And it's just swimming around in space and nobody's none the wiser. They're like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they show a scene where
That's called a plot hole. You would call that a plot hole.
a plot hole. And well, Owen's talking with Lynn and she goes, well, I've been tracking sightings of Tian Long, and I've also noticed that there's been one ship in every site in the same area as every sighting, and that's the Essex. And well, you see the boomer captain all pissed off and he's spinning the Essex tracking beacon. He's like turning it on and turning it off, turning it on, turning off. And he's just pissed because this guy just tagged our stuff so he can track us too. Well, they're searching for the Essex, and we get the scene of Tian Long coming out and just basically spitting all over the place. Just all this ambergris, and that's pretty much what they call it, is ambergris, floating in space, which attracts the clickers because that's what they feed on, and that's what the humans can easily use. But the ambergris itself is worth a lot of money as well. And
Yeah, so like
Harpo.
that's worth money too. And I'm like, okay, like do you use it for energy? Is it drugs? I mean, like why is this why? There was a lot of questions early. I missed it. I don't know. Like I said, I only watched it just now. I didn't know
Oh,
why.
all they said is the ambergris attracts, or Tian Long produces the ambergris. The ambergris attracts the clickers because that's what they eat, and the humans can track the clickers.
And it's valuable.
Because
There you go.
so yeah, it's valuable. That's pretty much it. It's for everything, basically.
Yeah. Why not? That's when
We
I say
see it's like.
that's when I say why the hell not? I'm like, listen, I'm easy going when I'm watching my movies. I'm like, you know what? Whatever. Okay, good. It's valuable. Move on. Get to the dragon.
Yeah, so we see Owen and Harpo and Hawthorne. They're like vacuuming up the ambergris. Stubbs is actually on the ship or outside the ship too, in the old classic astronaut suit, trying to vacuuming it up off the front of the ship, and he gets nailed with some of it too. And I like how Rags goes, "Oh wow, you just got money shot at there, bud."
Yeah,
I was well, like, "Oh,
should know about
oh
that.
God,
she should know what money shots look like."
Uh-huh.
And I say that
so,
out loud.
So, well, the boomers attack the Essex yet again, but during their first time, you see Tien Long near the Essex, their hyperdrive's malfunctioning. So Stubbs has to do a hurry, quick fix to get the hyperdrive, and Harpo took a clicker, and even though he was ordered not to, you know, he takes one just so he can make money. And he's like, well, all this ambergris that I collected, it's mine. And the clicker's mine, too. And, you know, the boomers are attacking the Essex. They even fire missiles at them. But Stubbs gets the hyperdrive back online before the missile can hit the ship. So, yay, everybody's alive that survives. But during this, you know, we see Stubbs touch the ambergris. And he's like, oh, this is disgusting. And this is a guy who's covered head to toe in oil and grease, and he's just like dirty as himself.
Yeah, nasty teeth too. I was like, you're like everybody else's teeth was fine. Like, why aren't you brushing your teeth?
Like, I'm confused. Well, like he said, it's like when they were saying, "Oh, what are you gonna do with your money?" I'm gonna sleep until I have to eat, and eat until I have to sleep. So,
yeah. Like, good for you.
Yep, and well. That's where it's revealed that the ambergris actually has passengers on itself. It's got the crazy bugs. And they start swarming him. And they're like getting in under his skin. They're getting into it, everything. He just starts freaking out. And we see Stubbs like using every bar of soap in the shower trying to wash them out. And you just see them crawling underneath his skin. I'm like, yeah, I think it's a bit too late for you, bud, to wash that out or get them out
of
you.
I don't think Dove's
going to
take care of that. Yeah,
nope.
You try lava soap. Like, that lava soap that gets like the mechanics use to try to get their, you know, the grease and dirt.
Oh yeah, that does wonders. It's like I also like the Dr. Squatch stuff. The pine tar, just full of grit can probably do it.
Listen, when you got crazy bugs crawling inside you, bars of soap are not going to do the trick. But he tried. Mm-hmm. Like, give him credit, you know, like kudos.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Bats happens to tell Harpo, her boyfriend, shows a pregnancy test. And they're like, well, how long has it been? I think three months. And I'm like, if she looks that way after 3 months pregnant, what the hell?
Yeah, she's like wearing belly shirts and stuff, and like, you know, like,
exactly.
Yeah, like, plot hole.
And I'm not gonna deny this movie has plot holes all over the place, and or some stuff that doesn't make sense. But we see the captain talking to Lynn, saying, "Oh, I have a tag on a Tien Long." Well, she was like, well, ICE's got to track you before that because they haven't heard from me. Well, that'd be good for them because I put our ship beacon on the cargo. So all they're going to do is find the boomers.
We're stuck out here. It's like, good for you.
Yeah, basically. And, well, after the shower, we see Stubbs going crazy, like just starting to go crazy. And you see the crazy eyes with them. And, well, Harpo just wants to get back to, because, you know, baby on the way, he wants to just go back to civilization. So he starts smacking with a pipe wrench the oxygen supply.
That was so dumb. Even if you want to, I get it. He wanted to go back home, but like that, like you're far out in space. That's the dumbest thing he could have done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, he attacks Lynn when she breaks out of her quarters. He attacks her and says, oh, she sabotaged the oxygen supply. But the captain flat out is like, yeah, whatever. And, like, turns right back around and tells Hawthorne, who's worked with Harpo for years, oh, Harpo sabotaged the oxygen supply. Why would he do that? desperate times, basically. So it's like, then we see like Raglan, who she's like the worst person to have on watch in a ship. She's like the pilot, but she's like sleeping on watch. And we get the tag from Tien Long pop up, and it's not far away at all.
No.
And then the captain comes, like right before the captain wakes her up, it deactivates again, which is making me like, this is the worst tracker you could have gotten. And you were saying in the beginning of the movie how your ship's pretty advanced. It's got some good harpoons and, you know, great technology on it. And I'm like, it keeps failing on you. But the Essex flies through ship debris and they're like, Tien Long had to have done this. I wonder what the ship is. And it's revealed to be the captain's father's ship. The one that is destroyed in the very beginning of the movie. And, well, the crew, to lock her up to keep her out of trouble, basically, they put Lin in with the creeper that Stubbs didn't secure. So it manages to get out of its cargo container and go after. Well, Hawthorne and the captain decide to look for Stubbs because they can't find him. He's the only one who can fix the oxygen supplies. And while he's looking for him, the captain hears Lin screaming, pulls her out of the cargo area as the creeper comes after them. And he smashes the creeper with another cargo container. And they're like, well,
how did he close the door? Like, I was waiting for him to close the door. And he just backs up and he grabs the firing signals. I'm like, oh, good. Back him up and close the door. But he doesn't close the door.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you could have just closed the door. But that's what I would have done.
We couldn't get the drama of, you know, the captain being the hero, basically for the.
He already was. Only time... he stepped in and sprayed it with the extinguisher
and
the,
pulled like, her out. But and don't close the door. So yeah, he kills the creeper, and there he's like, well, if it wasn't for me, Lin would be dead. Well, how's she feeling? Well, she ain't gonna eat creeper anytime soon. So that's when it's revealed that
the creepers are food sources. He kept a sense of humor throughout the movie. I was really impressed with that. Good times.
But he and Owen goes, oh, well, I don't think we need to lock her up anymore. I think it's okay. Well, if we keep her out, she's your responsibility, Owen.
Which was fine because she's good looking. He was digging on her. So like,
yeah, oh yeah, you could tell he was really digging on her. Like when he first sees her, he's like, oh, I'm the captain's much younger and much better looking brother.
Let me show you around the ship. Let me here.
Yep.
Come with me. I will take you on a tour.
Yep. And well, we get another scene of Harpo and Rags in the damn closet.
Yeah, how many scenes did we? I'm like, I get it. They're banging. I'm like, I don't need to, like, you know.
Well,
good
we,
for
we
you,
got
Jack,
two scene...
Jocko Sims.
we got two scenes of them banging. And after the second time, Bats finds Rags' bra in the supply closet. So she knows something's going on. But he's telling her that, oh, the oxygen's running out. And he wants to convince Rags to mutiny and just turn the ship around and go back home. And she's like, well, the captain's given me a chance. Not a whole lot of people are willing to give young pilots chances to fly ships. I'm not going to do that. Well, Owen gets on the comms and calls in an SOS because the ship's beacon's missing. They don't have any supplies. They need help. And of course, because they already tagged it, the boomers intercept the SOS. And they're like, oh, bad mistake, gentlemen. Ha. Ah.
He's like sloppy. He's like sloppy.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Like, duh. I'm like, it is sloppy.
And then we get, and you know, Tien Long shows up again. And this is like, what, an hour into the movie, and Tien Long finally attacks the Essex for the first time. And Owen's a bit pissed off about it, so he jumps in his pod and goes out there and starts fighting Tien Long. It's basically, you get power armor suits from Starship Troopers going up against Godzilla in space, fighting him, trying, and, you know, Harpo and Hawthorne jump in theirs to help out. Then they're like, oh, we're gonna help you. And Owen keeps getting into their like targeting windows because he's like, ha ha ha, I'm the one who's gonna do it. Nobody's gonna stop me. And even like the captain is trying to use the harpoon gun, going, okay, give me a good shot. And Lynn distracts him to the point where he can't get the shot. And with how Tian Long's tongue is, grabs Owen and just crushes him to death. And so Owen dies. And well, it's like the captain knocked out Lynn. And he even says, well, when she wakes up, it's like, if I would have blamed you for Owen's death, you would have woke up in the airlock. Technically speaking, dude, you had the shot. You could have saved your brother with a shot, and she stopped you. She is responsible for his death. But they didn't do that.
Well, he's responsible because he didn't turn the damn ship around. He should have just turned the damn ship around in the first place. Just went back home.
And it's like, so they're like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to look for Stubbs. Something's not right. Nobody can
Meanwhile,
find him.
Stubbs is still like, he's like alien. You know, an alien. He's roaming around the ship, but nobody can find him.
Yeah, he's in the ceilings, and you see like vomit, and you see like worms and everything. They're like, oh no, I think he's infected. Yeah. What was your first goddamn clue, people? Was it the vomit, or was it the worm in the vomit?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Lynn's like, well, the boomers took my gun. I'm not gonna track this guy down unarmed. So the captain's like, I got something for you, and gives the sword to her. And he goes, it's not just decorative.
That's foreshadowing. Yeah. For all you listening at home, foreshadowing.
Yep. And well, then a Tian Long shows up again. And this time the boomers are there. And they mentioned that energy weapons in the beginning of the movie don't affect Tian Long at all.
They do not.
But the boomers are like, hi, we're going to use our lasers to hurt this thing that it won't
maybe
do
they
shit
didn't know
to.
Maybe they didn't get the memo that the blasters didn't work.
Maybe
plot hole.
Yeah, so the boomer captain jumps in their like little fighter ship to take on Tian Long, as Tian Long anaconda python wraps around the boomer ship and just crushes it, killing everybody in it, and ends up killing the boomer captain as well in his ship.
He does.
And jumps into white space with the boomer ship. And, you know, I remember the first time I saw it, why the hell did the giant monster just take the spaceship with him? Well, it's because when it jumps out, it throws it at the Essex to do some damage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this movie is about hour and 40 minutes long. It's essentially like Moby Dick in space, but we don't really get a whole lot of Moby Dick going after the ship or tracking the ship. And
yeah, there was the boomers, and then there's Stubbs getting infected, and like him. Spoiler alert: he goes around and kills all the good-looking chicks. Well, aside from what's her name? What was her name
Lynn,
again? The
Lynn.
Chick, Lynn. Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
so he kills. But, like, spoiler alert, there's no future for the baby. It's like,
no, sadly.
Yeah.
Well, so. Like, he kills Rags because Rags went, oh, that's the first time I've gotten sweaty without getting off. And the captain goes, go take a shower.
Yeah.
And there's Stubbs. And he's the, you know, it's weird. The only time this guy looks like clean looking is when he's going out murdering people.
Well, it's because he showered. He finally showered.
Yep. And Lynn cuts off his hand, and he you see him with his blowtorch just cauterizing the wound.
He does.
And, I'm like, he's yelling throughout the ship. I would be, if I was looking for the guy, I'd be going trying to find the source of that yelling.
There's no echoes.
Oh, true. And
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I guess. I mean, like not. There's yeah. There's no like, you know, noise going through anywhere.
So we get, well, Tian Long shows up again, and the captain's like, fuck it, I'm gonna go out there. Well, Harpo told Bats that they need the oxygen from the pods so they can survive. So if anything happens, him and Rag or Bats can just jump into the pods and survive that way.
Yeah, Harpo doesn't give a shit about anybody at this point. He just gives a shit about him and his was it his wife or his girlfriend?
His girlfriend.
Right. That he's
The
banging,
girlfriend
that he
he's
was
been
cheating.
cheating.
That he was
Yeah.
cheating. But that's okay. Yeah. He
And
turns out to be a douchebag, is basically what
very
happens.
much so. Very much so. And he sees the captain take one pod and he's like, shit. And Hawthorne's suiting up and everything. And he's like, I can't let you take that pod, old man. And Hawthorne goes, we've been through a lot, you and I. Yeah, we have. So is this the way you want to take it, son? And you just see Harpo trying to kill Hawthorne with this pipe wrench. Hawthorne actually, for an older guy, beats the shit out of Harpo.
He did put up a good fight, and he kills him in a spectacular fashion. I was like, yeah, I was like, that was
Oh
awesome.
yeah, because he's got the like the exo suit already on to put
Yes.
on the space pod. He just activates part of it so he can still control it, and he
Yeah.
fires a spear right through Harpo's throat
And it
and just
impels him into
pins
the
him.
wall. And I was like,
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it either. I was like, it happened. I was like, whoa. I was like, that was cool.
Oh yeah. But we we get like one of the cool scenes of just the captain going around trying his hardest to take out Tien Long. And then we jump back to the ship and Stubbs stabs Bat in the stomach and she's like, I'm pregnant and gets stabbed.
He doesn't give a shit.
Lin comes to stop him and Bat gets her frying pan, smacks him in the face right before Lin cuts his head off.
That was spectacular too.
And
That was pretty solid. I was like, yeah, I was like, that'll do it. There you go.
then, that's when Bat dies. She just unceremonially dies.
Just drips down the tube.
We still got the captain fighting Tien Long. Hawthorne's now out there witnessing everything. He hasn't e which I'm like, okay, he's been with these guys, the captain and Owen, since they were kids because he was friends with their dad. And he doesn't do shit at this end fight to fight Tien Long at all. He's just out there in space.
He's an observer.
And
He's just like with an odd look on his face. He's just like, oh, he's like, wow. I'm like,
I
okay.
thought it was cool how Tien Long takes out one of the captain's leg, like rips it right off. And the captain's still like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm gonna die. Tries to impale him and just gets eaten by Tien Long. Lin runs into the cryopod refrigerator and freezes herself because she's like, it's the only way I can survive anything. The ship explodes. Hawthorne's floating there, and like a bottle of whiskey comes floating to him,
His
and he just
whiskey
got the
comes by.
biggest
He just
smile.
laughs. He just starts laughing. He's like, hey, you can't drink
And
it.
then,
Well,
yeah.
he could open up and try to take a swig before he died.
Well, Tien Long jumps into white space. You see the pod get sucked into white space too. And end of the movie, pod pops out of white space, and there's like an ICE ship right there. And they're saying, oh, we have surviving life forms. So they're basically saying, oh, Hawthorne's alive too. He got sucked into white space and popped out the other side as well.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, because he said multiple. Like I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So that means
I do
she's
remember.
cured then, right? She went through white space, so her
Basically,
tumor's gone,
yeah.
right? Or was that just a
Yeah,
myth?
that's what
Like,
it was
was
a
it?
myth, but they insinuate that, oh, it's a she believes that it's gonna happen, so it's a cure-all.
But you don't know.
They
You
have
don't know for
we
sure.
don't
They
know
don't like flat out say.
because the movie ends right there. Because it
Yes.
jumps to the
Credits roll.
title going Beyond White Space
Yes.
credits. I fast forward through the credits. I was like, did they have anything? Like maybe a stinger at the end to go, oh, there's gonna be a sequel. There's no sequel, people.
No.
So it's like before I get into my opinion of the film, what was your opinion of it, John?
It wasn't bad. It was like wasn't the worst movie I saw. It's got it had a solid. I mean, I liked Holt McCallany. I like him. Jocko Sims, he was in The Last Ship. I love that TV show when it was on. So I mean, he was a douchebag. Turned out to be a douchebag in this one. And Mike Genovese, I love too. He was in Best of the Best too, as well as Showdown with Billy Blanks. So he did some 90s martial arts flicks. So he's always good in the movies that he does. Zule, like I said, I remember her from fighting with Channing Tatum. The other ones, you know, the Rags I didn't recognize, or Kit. Her real name was Kitchen. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like I said, Matt. I just saw them.
Batali.
Bats.
Yeah. Bats.
Bats.
Like baseball.
Yeah,
bats,
I didn't recognize her either. But yeah, but still, so everybody did fine. Like they were, I mean, it was, you know, decent acting. The like whoever wants to make an independent science fiction movie, hire the special effects people, because that was the most solid thing about the film. Filmworks FX, I think it was called.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I said when I watched the trailer with you on my show, and I was like, this looks, I mean, because there's the movie Space Wars, Quest for the Deep Star, that I did with Olivier Gruner and Michael Paré and Sarah French, that I interviewed all of them for. Because that had solid, decent special effects for a low budget movie. So yeah, other than that, I'm not gonna watch it again. I mean, I don't need to watch it again. I mean, it was cool, but yeah, there was way too much. Like then you had the boomers, and then you had Stubbs going crazy. I'm like, I just wanted the freaking Moby Dick showdown, and like we did get it. I mean, to a point.
Actually,
yeah, eventually. Exactly. So eventually, I mean, like if I had to rate it, like if I did a review on my website, I'd give it a 3 out of 5. I mean, like I said, plot holes galore, but yeah, I have millions of movies I love that have plot holes in them, so that never kills it for me. But yeah, I mean, it was decent. I mean, like I said, I didn't feel like I wasted my time watching this movie. That's the biggest compliment I can give it, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, decent special effects. Like, the monster looked great. Tian Long looked awesome. I mean, it looked badass. And, you know, and like, there was a lot of visuals in this movie. And it was solid work. And I was impressed. Other than that, that's about all I got.
Yep. So, like I said, this was my second time viewing the movie. First time, I watched it many, many years ago, like right when it came out. I was like, all right, I was excited for it. I liked it. I'm going to say it's a 3 out of 5 for me. I think it, for an independent sci-fi film, it did a little too much, in my opinion.
They put too much into the pot. I mean,
exactly.
I just wanted the mutiny thing was fine, because like that was part of the plot. Like,
oh yeah.
Them like, hey, that should have just been the big thing. Like them not wanting him to do this, and he's crazy, and he wants to go after it because it killed his dad, and then eventually kills his brother, and then then it turned into like Body Snatchers, and you know, and stuff. And the boomers wasn't even, well, that was cool because like the dragon, I'll just call it the dragon, like fought them and like killed them spectacularly, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, I just wanted the Ahab Moby Dick showdown. You know, and again, exactly. We did get it. But it was like 5 minutes, like at the end of the movie, like with him when he goes out there. So, hey, if you're looking for a decent independent science fiction flick, you could do worse as well. 3 out of 5.
Well, I'm like, all right. It was a 3 out of 5 for me. It's like I said, they did too much. You could have taken the boomers out. You could have taken the Body Snatchers part out.
Well, you could have taken the boomers out after they dealt with them, because that could have just been something like in the first third of the movie, like just, you know, here's another subplot. But then they could have just like done away with that and just, you know, said bon voyage and, you know, went on to Tian Long. And like I said, him going crazy, I mean, it resulted into a spectacular kill. Let me tell you, when she chopped his head off, that looked pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I just wanted more of what it promised. Like, that's the thing. Did it promise what it said it was? Did it deliver what it promised it said it was going to do? I'm like, yeah, kind of. Not really, but sort of.
But, you know, I liked how the main cast, because it's just this core group of people, I'm like, you could have probably gotten rid of Harpo cheating on his girlfriend.
That was just
got
dumb.
Rid of that part.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we don't, because here's the thing. I don't understand even why they did it, because like they didn't show her naked. Like, so why are you trying to like please the 16-year-old boys watching this movie? Because if you are, you fail miserably at that aspect of it. You know, so it's like, so yeah, it's like that was just dumb, you know, but whatever. It is what it is.
Well, while we're doing this, I looked up some of the films that Filmworks VFX have done. They've got some great experience with movies like The Matrix, Fight Club, The Cell, The Tourist, Night and Day, Gone Girl.
So they're a big this. I don't know where the movie found its budget, but whatever.
Apocalypto, Mel Gibson's film.
Wow.
Yeah, the company alone, was
found. You could have just said The Matrix, yeah. And I would have been impressed.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, all right. Sweet.
Yeah, like Geostorm was another one. So they got a fairly big name film company to do the VFX. So where the hell did the money come from? Like, I couldn't find what the budget was like I normally would. Since it was a direct to DVD release, you can't find out how much money they made. I think this is like a movie that basically word of mouth, that's non-existent.
I didn't know anything about this movie. Said it. I was like, I have no idea what that is. So I'm like, what is that?
Well, you know, I'm a giant monster movie fan. I love kaiju films. Well, I am films. Too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a good monster movie just as much as the next guy. But yeah, I mean, hey, movies get onto my radar. The Painter got onto my radar. And I watched that. I was like, this movie's kick ass. I mean, it happens. Well, I have a life. So sometimes I do my due diligence. I put the work in with my website to make sure that I am up to date on things, but it's
oh, yeah.
So it's
stuff. So
whatever I was doing in 2017 or 18 when this movie came out, it slipped under my radar. I mean, I'll be the first to admit it. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say your website and Owen's website are like my action movie Bibles. I sadly haven't been on it a whole lot this week because personal stuff, dealing with also, you know, finishing up my training for work, you're the new job.
You better get right back on, catch up.
Oh, yeah, I'll be looking.
Listen, I should have probably watched this because I went to go see the Ministry of Gentlemanly Warfare before I watched this movie. Maybe I should have watched it before that. Then I probably would have liked it better. Spoiler alert, cleanser, that movie kicked ass. Yeah. That movie was
phenomenal. Nice.
Guy Ritchie, and I said it on Facebook. I said Superman, Reacher, and Snake Eyes do World War II Guy Ritchie style. It's like, what's that love? But yeah, I went to see that this afternoon because I texted you. I was like, hey, what's going on? Because I remembered you saying about doing the show, and I'm like, did he say we were going to do something today? But I was in the movie theater before it started, and I texted you, and you texted me back. And I'm like, well, I was like, I'm watching this right now. I'll go home and watch it as soon as I'm done watching this one.
All I gotta ask really is, Alan Ritchson, is he playing a German?
No, he's Swedish. He's Swedish.
Oh, Swedish. Okay. And
he's
Swedish.
He's fucking phenomenal. Oh my, the whole cast is phenomenal. The whole cast, oh my God. The action is freaking balls out, man. Like, and it's got Reacher with a bow and arrow, man, and he uses that, and he's a knife expert too, and here's the thing, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. He shoots guys with arrows and then pulls the arrow out and starts stabbing other guys with it. I'm like, I was just like this is great. I love it. But let's get back on to the
so well no I was just gonna say, it's, you know, I've seen this movie twice. I'm like, all right, it is what it is.
I'm not saying anything against it. Like, I'm not gonna. I don't want to say never, you know. But I'm not gonna be like, hey, you know what? I want to watch Beyond White Space. It's not gonna happen. I mean, no offense to Holt and the rest of the cast. It was a decent movie. Like I said, I did not waste my time watching this movie. But it's not one that I'm gonna, you know, return to. Sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's like two movies that I'm going to try to watch this, like, probably tomorrow.
I also watched Rebel Moon Part 2, The Stargiver.
That was one of the movies.
I'm going to take shit I'm gonna take shit. I'm like, after I got done watching it, I'm like, I actually contemplated not writing a review because it's positive. I'm sorry. I mean, was it great? Oh. No, it was not great by any stretch of the imagination. Did I like it more than the last couple Star Wars movies? Yes, I did. And
all right.
Like, I've read some of the criticisms. I think Zack Snyder just has this base where people automatically just hate him as a filmmaker, and it doesn't matter what he does. And I said in my review, I said, if you hate Zack Snyder and you hate the way he does films, because Zack Snyder is basically like, fuck you, I'm going to still make the movies the way I want to.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Zack Snyder movie. It's got slow motion up the ass, and it's, you know, but I dig it, and I thought the action was great, and I enjoyed it, so fucking sue me. I'm sorry. I gave it a 3.5. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. So I didn't review the first one because that was in December, and I was depressed. Yeah. You know, in December. So I didn't get a chance to review it. So I kind of touched upon the first one. I liked it. So yeah, but he's supposed to release a director's cut of them later on. I'm like, why didn't you just do that? Because it's supposed to be ultra violent. Because watching the action scenes, all I was thinking about was, this is going to be more violent. So
Well, Rebel Moon Part 2 is one of the movies I'm going to probably watch either today or tomorrow. But
if you like the
I know
first
for
one, you'll like this one. Did you like the first one?
I did like the first one.
Okay, well, then
but
this is more of the same. It's just a continuation. That's all it is.
But, you know, the next movie I'm going to mention, you know, a friend of mine has highly recommended to me, highly, highly recommended. It was on sale on Vudu. I got it for $9.99. Land of Bad.
Oh, I did too. $9.99. I did. I bought it too. I bought it. Oh, my God. It's such a good movie. If you do not listen. And that goes for anybody who has not seen Land of Bad. Land of Bad, right now, it is, what, April 20th? It's a toss-up between Beekeeper and Land of Bad right now, which is my favorite action movie for 2024 right now.
So, yeah, Land of Bad and Rebel Moon Part 2 are, like, the movies
this
I'm going to watch because I'm kid-free this weekend. Oh, it's been
yes. But 2024 has been Owen and I have talked about this. Like he's like, this has been a great year. I'm like, it has. I'm like, there's been a lot of good
movies. You know,
and we're not just talking movies, the theater. We're in streaming, you know, DVD or Blu-ray, I'm sorry. But and I just watched 1% Warrior, Tak Sakaguchi, if you're a Tak fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm late on that one. I was supposed to watch that a long time ago. But that was phenomenal. I liked it. You know, so it's just action movie I watched, well, except for Roadhouse, which I didn't hate. Again, did not hate.
Well, I was gonna say there's a right now so far that I could say my favorite movie of the year. I purchased the digital for it. It came out this week, or could have been last week, like last Friday. Dune Part 2, that came out. I own that. That's
yes, and I'm going to watch them. They're on digital now, so I am. I haven't even seen the first one yet, so I'm going to watch the first one and then watch the second one. And you know, and I've heard the thing. You know, the first one sets up for the second one, so it's like don't expect you know greatness in the first one, but it all comes to head in the second one, and it's just like
well, I will say it's the first one is because I audio listened to the book. Mm-hmm. They did take out elements. Certain plot elements from the book. They edited out characters.
It would be a miniseries.
Like well, that was the thing is, Denis Villeneuve filmed it, but he was like Tim Blake Nelson. They cut out his part out of this film because he was supposed to.
Yeah, he was pissed. You could tell he was pissed when he interviewed him. He was like, I don't know
why.
It's
like, they actually had a character from the first film. He played the Mintat, the human computers, as they basically are. He's in the first one. He filmed his scenes for the second one, but they cut that out because he was in the book, important plot line there. I do like how it's like, I know that, yeah, and yes, people, you know how we go on tangents on this show. It's like, you should see me and John on his, on his live stream, we go on tangents.
Are we done talking about Beyond White Space?
Yeah.
Are we finished with that?
Or we are. We are.
Back to it? Okay, we're done. We're finished.
No, we're done
okay.
with it.
3 out of 5.
So, you know, we go on tangents on that. We're going on tangents here. I'm going to say, I'm trying not to give you spoilers because I think you would hate me if I did for Dune Part 2 because I think it's a great film. They, you know, how they did certain scenes. Because if you watch the preview, they show Austin Butler in black and white. That's an infrared camera they used. So that's he does a great job playing a psycho. This movie was great. I absolutely loved it. Josh Brolin, you know, it's Josh Brolin. I kind of feel bad because, you know, people are going to see him as Thanos for years. He has to come up with that another role where he could break out of that mold instead of just being Thanos. But him playing Gurney Halleck does a great job. Stilgar, played by Javier Bardem, great job. Rebecca Ferguson, oh my God. She's like one of my celebrity crushes I have. She's a great actress. If I find out she's in something, I'm... That
called somebody out for treating her like shit on a
film. Yes.
Set. Yeah.
Yes. And she caught some shit, but, you know, I'm glad that her male co-stars on a bunch of the movies that she did do came to her rescue and go, you know what? She's a wonderful woman. She didn't reveal.
No, so we don't
know. She basically was like, I'm not going to give that person the respect of, but I haven't always had the best. And, you know, Tom Cruise actually came to her defense.
I remember Dwayne Johnson came out and said, hey, I'm not it.
He said, I'm not it. Said, she's a lovely woman. I loved working with her. She was like a big sister. Tom Cruise, basically in his statement, he was like, I want blood. Who did this to her? I've seen them in interviews. They get along perfectly well. But I'm like, Rebecca Ferguson did it. Zendaya, you know.
Well, go down the filmography. Go down the line on her filmography.
people are doing that. People are doing that. But she, you know, like Zendaya, for example. I'm not the biggest Zendaya fan. Because I only know her from Dune and from Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
But, you know, like, I haven't seen Euphoria. I'm probably not the target audience for Euphoria.
No.
She's got that tennis movie coming out.
The Challengers, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm, you know, people are probably going to give me hate for this, which go right ahead. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about that one. That just doesn't look appealing to me. And if people like,
that's okay. I don't give a shit about what were we talking about? I already forgot what movie I give a shit about.
But yeah, you know, some people are like, well, that's not. They're probably like, oh, well, you're not an you're an action guy. You're a sci-fi guy. No, I like drama.
No, I love them all. I got comedies. I got A Few Good Men. Love it. Not a shot fired.
Good movie.
It's
like, yeah. There's like one or two action scenes in Rules of Engagement with Tommy Lee Jones and Samuel L. Jackson. That's a courtroom drama.
There is some battle sequences in that one, but no, it is not an action movie.
No,
Courage on the Fire. Yes. Same thing with Denzel Washington and Meg Ryan. You know, there's action in it.
But
flash back to the battle, but it's not, you know, like flat out action.
But no, like, okay, I absolutely adored and love The Iron Claw. Sad ass movie, which is going to be coming out on HBO.
Yes,
Max
I love
soon.
That too. I loved it too. I saw Civil War this past week. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I loved it. A lot of people are hating on it, but it made me afraid for my daughter's future. But but it's not an action movie, but there is beats of action in it. And the finale, if you want to go see it in IMAX, because it's phenomenal. Like the way it should. Like the battle sequence in Washington, D.C. One of the best action. I mean, it is an action sequence. It's one of the best action sequences I've seen in a long time.
Well, a coworker of mine at work, he saw that and he goes, honestly, the name of the movie shouldn't be Civil War. It should be News Reporting in the Civil
That's
War.
Bullshit. It's just, it's done through the eyes of the journalist. People get over it.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I'm like, that's the movie that he made. It's them seeing the Civil War through these journalists who are trying to get to Washington, D.C. because Kirsten Dunst wants to interview the president. And they're the ones, we experience the horrors of this through their eyes. So it's like, it's in the freaking synopsis, people. So your argument is invalid. I'm sorry. You can come on my show and argue with me. But I was like, your argument.
Oh, yeah. More than. It's like.
And Jesse,
you know,
Plemons, Kirsten Dunst's, I don't know if he's her husband or boyfriend.
Yeah,
but,
husband.
Yeah, husband. So just 2 days or so before they were supposed to film that scene, the actor dropped out. So she said, what about Jesse? Yep. Flat out the most terrifying scene I've seen in a long time.
That's what
I was on pins and needles during this sequence. He is so goddamn scary. And I was just like, wow, he just acted his ass off in this scene. And
you
and
know,
just when he says the line, yeah, but what kind of American are you? You're just like, oh, like, whoa. It's like,
yeah,
but yeah,
you know,
I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I mean, the ending, it was depressing, but I mean, but people are saying, oh, it's journalism. And they, you know, but you have to do it through the eyes of somebody. So
yeah.
not by these people. You can't, it can't, it's not like it's an epic 8-hour miniseries. It's just, it's an hour and like 45 minutes long. And it's just them trying to get to Washington, D.C. Now, and I liked it was ambiguous. Why did Texas and California hook up? We don't know, but we didn't need to know. It just, it happened. And, you know, and it sucked.
Well, my honest opinion, when I heard that, I was like, wait, that, yeah, you can tell it's a movie because those two states, you got one that's primarily red and one that's primary blue. Their political beliefs are way
it's
opposite
intriguing.
Ends of the spectrum,
it's
but
intriguing.
It's intriguing.
It's
so,
intriguing. Listen, I liked it. I'm sorry. I gave it a 4 out of 5. And
oh,
like I said,
awesome,
the finale is balls out. If you watch it in IMAX, it'll rattle your brains, let me tell you.
I will say I haven't been watching too many movies this week. A show I was looking forward to came out last week. I finished watching it. I watched all 8 episodes of Fallout. I absolutely loved it. I was talking with the guy that was honestly, if you like dark humor.
Mm-hmm.
And Walton Goggins playing the character the ghoul,
mm-hmm.
He steals every scene he's in.
I bet he does.
He does a great job.
I want to see Borderlands though. Like that reminds me of Borderlands. That movie looks kick ass.
That looks pretty cool. But yeah. Honestly, if you like dark humor, my personal opinion, I've played like maybe half an hour of Fallout 3 when it came out back in the day.
That's why I like when these video games come out. When these movies come out based on video games, aside from Call of Duty, which I played a little bit here and there, or like, you know, Jet Li's video, like, I know nothing about these. The Halo, you know, it's like, I'm coming from, mm-hmm. I like coming from the aspect of I have not played these video games. Because I think, like, if I did play these video games, that I probably, like, hate them more. But, like, Halo... Yeah. I never, aside from Dave and Buster's, like I told you one other time, you know, I played their big thing at Dave and Buster's, but you know, everybody's complaining about that. But I'm like, I'm digging it. I'm like,
I dig the show. I'm a Halo fan. I'm digging it. I have, people can't see it, but on my back wall, I have a Master Chief figure. On the front wall, I have another Master Chief figure and a bunch of other Spartans. Only game I haven't played in that is Infinite and Guardians. I own all the rest in the Master Chief collection. I have all the RTS games. I'm a Halo fan. I enjoy the show for what it is, but not knowing anything really about Fallout, I will recommend just watch the first episode, John. If it's something you're not into, cool. But I get the feeling because we both have the same sense of, taste and stuff. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I loved it.
Okay.
They do mostly practical effects, like the power armor suits that you see in the previews. Those are real. They built those. They built. They put
cool.
a guy in a
that
costume. So, I recommend it. I'm gonna recommend this until I turn blue in the face. I wish I could find a way to watch it. Other than, you know, paying a lot of money for the physical copies of it. I call it Call of Duty the show, except for Strike Back has a hell of a lot more sex than Call of Duty.
Oh, I'm going to make you feel... I got the complete series.
Oh, I'm jealous. I am jealous.
This is my Bible. Like I said... Strike Back, and again, that I need as much sex in it. Like I'm not this horny guy that needs to watch sex in movies and television. But aside from that, this is bar none if not the best, one of the top three action shows that come around in a long time. And even when Sullivan Stapleton and Philip Winchester left the show, it didn't miss a beat. The people they got to replace them were awesome. And like I said, when it went off the air, I was like, damn, what am I going to do now? Then SEAL Team came. I'm like, hey, SEAL Team. But now when SEAL Team goes, I'm going to what am I going to watch on?
Well, I think back. We've been spoiled because I remember the unit. After the unit went off the air, we waited a couple years and then Strike Back came out.
I was a huge fan of the unit. And I got to interview Max Martini, who was on the unit for the channel, when he did the channel with Clayne Crawford, Willem Kaufman. Great guy. I wanted to interview him for a long time, and I finally got the opportunity to. So, yeah, super excited. I love the unit. And that show got canceled way before its time.
So. Oh, yeah. It's like the unit, and then we got Strike Back, and then we got SEAL Team, which military dramas don't last too long, but I'm glad they're out there.
Well, they have big budgets, especially the action ones, the ones that have a lot of battle sequences. It costs money to make.
But like I said, it's I call it Call of Duty, the series, and that's Strike Back. So I'm a huge Call of Duty fan. I just picked up Modern Warfare 3 for the PS5. So
yeah, Michael Collins, he does the motion capture for. So yeah, I talked to him. In the interview. That was pretty cool.
Oh, and you just had a big interview that you just released. I believe it was yesterday.
I did two yesterday. Interview. Well, I did one Thursday night, and then one yesterday. I did Bren Foster. Thursday night, he was in Australia, so it was Friday afternoon when it was Thursday night for me. It was 9 o'clock for me and like noon for him. And then I did Eric Jacobitz. If you guys are a fan of action design, he's, you know, if you know action, you know Eric Jacobitz. He did Contour. He had his movie come out, and Shane's throwing something at his dog.
Yeah, well, he's not shutting up because neighbors in the hall. So I'm like,
I'm sorry,
got to distract him.
It was funny. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's like I another reason why it's like I wasn't available for anybody to get a hold of us. Yeah, he. I was suffering from a massive cold. It was horrible.
Yeah, she told me that. You're like, I'm sick. I'm like, it's okay. We don't have to do any recordings.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah, I got nothing but rest. I actually survived last Monday, my first solo drive by myself on my route.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you how it went because you went solo. Sorry. Yeah. So.
Oh, you know, it was good. Monday.
We're not even
and
talking
Fridays
about action
are the easiest.
Anymore. We're talking. Let's talk about Shane's job.
Oh, you know, yeah, it's like so for the audience, I got a new job. I'm doing linen deliveries, so my only issue I have with it is we start at 5 o'clock in the morning. So but other than that, I love it. It's a great job. I get full benefits after 30 days, and I just passed 4 weeks this Thursday. So solo drive went great. The week coming up is payday week for me, and I'm like, okay, it's the easier week. Of course, the day that I do it is the long Monday, but I like my stops. I mainly get like coffee places to deliver to. I got a couple like little clinics to deliver to and pick up stuff. So, you know, it's not as stressful when I was with FedEx. My bosses were like, "Oh yeah, as long as you know 1:30 is 8 hours because we get." We get a half hour lunch, but I, you know, first solo day alone was 1 o'clock. I was back before 1:30 and I was in and out. Had to deal with some personal things. I told you about that before we got on mic, John, which that got resolved, thankfully. So yeah, this week's been an odd week. I've been like, it's like, you know me well enough to know if I'm like not talking to anybody, something's going on. So,
you know, I got my shit going on too, but it's like, yeah, I hadn't heard from you. And I was like, were we supposed to do something today? And I'm like, and then I couldn't even remember what we were supposed to do it on. So then you texted me back and I was like, oh shit, I didn't watch that. I'm like, I'll rectify it.
Oh, yeah,
I'll do the homework. I'll do the homework.
I was going to do my homework on Thursday, but Like I got, it was like the last day where I felt like crap, but I'm like, okay, I did the preliminary stuff, like looked up the cast, looked up the stuff, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch the movie. And right when I sat down, I got just hit with fatigue, and I'm like, oh,
Okay.
hell with it, I'm gonna go to bed. Yep.
There you
And then
go.
I had my kids yesterday, evening to noon my time today, so that was fun. I absolutely enjoy spending time with my kids. Their grandmother's visiting from Arizona, so I don't get them this week or the rest of this weekend or next weekend. So, yeah, you can hit me up, John. We can do recordings as many times as need be.
Well, I get my daughter on Monday, but which again, I don't want to sound bad, like a bad. I'm a great father. I'll say it. I love my
Oh yeah.
daughter, but I wish that I had her on the week that Boy Kills World wasn't coming out, because I'm gonna have to wait till
Yeah.
the following Monday. So all these people are gonna have reviews come out, and then I'll be like, what? I'll still do a review for it, but I won't be able to go see it until she goes. I get her Monday to Monday. So when I take her to school on that Monday, that day I'm gonna go see, I have to wait to go see it. I'm like, why couldn't I get her on? Why couldn't these movies? I need all my action movies to come out on weeks that I don't have my child. It's
Oh
such
yeah,
a
that exactly. But I'm like, there's a movie that you just recently saw that's gonna be coming out Tuesday digitally, and I'm like, oh, I don't
Who
know if
me?
John's gonna be too happy that Monkey Man's gonna be coming out digitally on Tuesday.
I saw Monkey Man. I did a review.
Yeah, you saw it you saw it in theaters, but huh?
I did. I took my daughter to see it, my 16-year-old. She
Oh God.
didn't like it as much as
Oh,
I
okay.
did, but she, you know, she got confused. And it is kind of, there's a lot going on in the movie. Like I said, people call it the Indian John Wick, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. I'm like, why are
Yeah.
people calling this the Indian John Wick? Why? Because he beats people up at the end? I don't get it. And he's wearing a black suit. Maybe that's what it was. I
Maybe.
don't know. But there's no guns. I mean, there's like the teeniest, tiniest of gunplay, like minuscule. But it's all knife fighting and hand-to-hand combat and fireworks. So, but yeah, if that comes out digitally, all right. Well, that's cool. I mean, sweet. They
it's
come out
like
pretty fast.
so I'm just like, all right, I've so my weekend, I'm like, okay, I don't have to do anything. I'm just gonna sit and relax. I actually, you'll be excited to see this. I picked up a copy of The Last Ronin,
I need to
the
pick that
Ninja
up.
Turtles.
Yeah, I went to my comic book store and I tried to get the first issue of Re-Evolution. He's like, it's not available. I'm like, of course. I'm like, God damn it.
The comic book store I went to, they're like, yeah, once it was announced, we're not going to be. I picked up the last copy of The Last Ronin. I saw it was a alternate cover of Re-Evolution on the wall behind them, like where the expensive comics are.
I can
So
wait
yeah,
if
I'm
it
like,
comes out, like until they combine them. And like the G.I. Joe one's coming out this summer, and I already told the guy, he's like, yeah, we're not taking orders for that yet. I'm like, well, can you take my name and put me on there? Because it's they're collecting all the original issues of G.I. Joe, and I used to have those, which sucks
wow.
because
I think I used to have some of those too.
but they're the first 50 issues are coming out, 1 through 50, the
Oh
first
wow.
Companion is coming out. And I was like, yeah, I need it. I mean,
Yep.
yep. So, but I don't even know what we were talking about. We just went off a
we're,
cliff
we
and you started
we we
talking
just
about
got
your
off
job.
another tangent. But it's like right before we wrap this up, where can people find you if they want to look you up and everything?
I'm in Panama City, Florida.
Yeah,
Early. No, actionflix.com. Action-flix.com is my website. I've been doing it for about 9 years, and I'm on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and then of course I have my YouTube channel, and I do the Action Fix podcast, which I do the weekly intel. I do interviews, and I did too, like I said, Brent Foster, who action fans might know from The Last Ship. He was SCPO Wolf Taylor, Maximum Conviction, Forced Execution, phenomenal martial artist, badass. Badass. When I say badass, badass. And he's got a new movie, Life After Fighting, which he announced on my show. exclusively is coming out June 7th, and he even gave me the posters exclusively to show everybody. So phenomenal dude. He talked to me for over 2 hours, and that's up now on my website and the YouTube channel. And then, of course, yesterday I talked to Eric Jacobus. He does like the Hong Kong style Jackie Chan style martial arts. He's been doing it for years. His movie Contour, his first movie, it's the 20th anniversary, and he did a big, he dropped it on his YouTube channel yesterday, uncut, director's cut. And I talked to him yesterday. Great conversation. That's up now. So, yeah, that's me. Action Flicks and Action Picks.
Yeah, it's like I've been lucky enough to be, you know, your co-host on the live stream on the YouTube channel. And we've been just lucky and fortunate, you know, with the fan interaction as well.
We got a few. There's a few of them.
Yep. It's like I have, you can look up on my link.tr / Shane_Logans, where you can find John's social medias. I say hit up the YouTube channel because, you know, you can actually interact with us directly, and we have a blast doing that.
They can email, like I have a contact page on my site, you know, and I get and if you shoot me that, it comes right to my email, my Action Flicks email. So yeah, so that's the two best ways. Yep.
So it's like,
and I tell people all the time, I've joked about this with you, Shane, all the time. I always tell people, if there's something you want to see, if there's something you want to see me cover, if there's something, you know, but nobody ever does. And, oh shit, and I forgot about Tan. Tan gave me all those questions and I keep forgetting.
No, it's like, well, I think we should just sit down and do like a Q&A, just reading those questions and answering them. I think that's what we should do for an episode coming up.
This will be my fourth review. And I never do these minute reviews. So I did Civil War, and then I did Rebel Moon. Now I'm going to have to do Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I saw today, which, spoiler, it rocked. So there's mine. With the website, I'm just busy. And I'm like, you know, there's always something that's popping.
I will say I am a Guy Ritchie fan. I've seen pretty much all his films except for the Madonna one he did.
If you love Guy Ritchie, you're going to love it. I mean, it's got his wit. It's got the eye winking, elbow nudging, you know, humor in it, and it's got the clever dialogue, and it kicks ass. Like literally, it kicks a lot of ass. Like Henry Cavill, is awesome in it, and Alan Ritchson is awesome, and Henry Golding, like I said, Snake Eyes is in it. He's awesome too. Alex Pettyfer is awesome in it. Everybody's awesome, and Aiza Gonzalez, she's awesome in it. They're all.
Oh yeah, I just found out that, you know, the actor who played Joffrey from Game of Thrones, because once his character, spoiler for that, once his character died, he...
Why is that a spoiler? Because everybody died on this show.
Not everybody, you know, he
was pretty much over.
He died, his character died, and he got Jack Gleason's the actor's name. He got so much hate for that he retired from acting. And just came back for it was in The Land.
That's when people suck. I'm like, dude, it's a role. Yeah. He was doing a fucking role.
Mm-hmm.
He did it good because people
hate him
for it. But come he on, came people. Back when you start sending hate mail and death threats to an actor because of a part that they played, that's them acting. That's their job, assholes. Sorry.
I just saw the preview for In the Land of Saints and Sinners, and I didn't realize it until I had to look it up and see that it was Jack Gleason in the preview. I'm like, who the hell's this young guy who's like shadowing Liam Neeson? I'm slightly irritated with Liam Neeson because they just announced this last week that Pam Anderson's going to be his co-star in the Naked Gun remake, and I'm like, no, leave it alone. But yeah, it's like, you could, all my past guests, you can look up on my link tree. You can hit me up at actionnerdpod@gmail.com. I've been having to take breaks from the show mainly like due to personal issues, trying to figure stuff out. I'm hoping to
And
get back
life.
on the train. I'm yeah, life keeps getting in the way. Damn it. But
I thought it would
you
get
know,
better once
I
I
got
separated from my ex, but I'm like, like, damn it.
it
I'm
gets
like, come on.
easier. It gets easier.
Well,
I'm
it's
like,
not
all
just
right, we
that.
get.
I mean, I'm moving on from that, but it's just,
Oh yeah.
just other, like, I start physical therapy on Monday, totally not looking forward to that at all. And yeah, disability, I'm still on. I did get another a job, and if and finally when that starts, that'll be super cool, and I won't have to get up early in the morning. I mean, I can work late. Like, working late is not a problem, which is what I'll probably be doing with this job. But it's like waking up at 3 in the morning. Fuck and you. I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore.
No, it's tough, but you know,
I've done a
I
long time.
like
I've
with
done it many years when I worked for Walmart and everything. Yeah, a lot of jobs I've had where I had to be there at 4 o'clock in the damn morning. It
See,
sucks.
I like with my job, you know, I get like yesterday I was off the clock at 10:30 in the
It is nice.
morning.
You get off at like I would get off at 12 or 12:30, and you got the rest of the day. But then think about it,
Yep.
even though you got the rest of the day, but then it goes by fast, and you're gonna have to go to bed again because you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's like,
All right, but it's like right before we sign off, I'm gonna state this is probably gonna be like either John or my little catchphrase at the end of each time we record now is probably remember, guys, remember rule three, be nice until it's time not to be nice. So I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Hit either John or myself up. And you know, just be nice, guys. All right, bye.
bye-bye.